Okay, let's move on to the next round. Item number five is the briefing on round four.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. The second item I have for you today is agenda item five, and this is a briefing on the WAC overhaul rule batch four and the opportunity to provide a public hearing on this rule package. Before I begin explaining these changes in order, I'd like to turn your attention to the letter inserted into your materials. Thank you. The Wildlife Program contacted me earlier this week and requested that I hold off on several rule changes that appear at the end of rule batch four, and this is due to a scheduling conflict that apparently wasn't identified previously. Because of this request, I withdrew those rules from the rule package by sending this letter to the Code Revisor's Office yesterday. So it basically says we are taking away all of these rules. All of these rules do appear at the end of this package, so, and I will identify that for you when we actually reach that point. There wasn't enough time to notify the public of this change, so we will allow any member of the public who wishes to testify, and I'm not sure if anybody has signed up, so if they so choose to. And additionally, I will work with the Wildlife Program to ensure these changes are incorporated into their annual hunting seasons and rule adjustments that are going to be happening later this spring. As I go through and explain the changes, I'll alert the Commission, as I mentioned earlier, I'll alert you when we actually reach that point. And again, I still hope to make these changes, and actually I have been working with the Wildlife Program this week to figure out a way for us to do that, and I'll likely just be drafting the changes in a new document and then sending those to the Wildlife Program to then have their amendments incorporated into. So that will be a new rulemaking process, a new CR 101, 102, 103, we'll go through that. And unless there are any questions about that, I'll go ahead and move forward with, great. So I will go through the changes in order as I usually do, as they appear in the rule package materials and not necessarily on the list that is provided early on in the materials. So the first change we have is to WAC 220-2020-039, and this is on page 4 of your materials. That's where all of our rule amendments start. The title of this is Live Fish Import and Transfer, and it's amended to remove references to the Department of Fisheries to clarify and update language, and it provides penalty language for violation of the provision. So yes, I still am cleaning out Department of Fisheries and Game references. the next change is WAC 220-2020-040, which is General Provisions Rearing and Planting Food Fish. And this is amended to remove references to the Department of Fisheries to update and clarify language and to clean up the subsections. And that is part of my overall effort, is to make sure that there's ease of reading with each of our WAC sections. And as part of that, breaking things out into subsections is really important. It's easier on the eye. It helps people find what they're looking for more quickly. The third change we have is to WAC 220-55-230, and that's Columbia River Endorsement. And that is amended to clarify language and areas as requested by the FISH program, and adds subsections for better ease of reference. So I guess there was some confusion as to some locations on here, and the FISH program said, oh, great, you know, if you're doing another package, could you please include these? And I said, sure, no problem. So this is another example of cooperation between the programs. WAC, the next change we have is to WAC 220-56-360, and that's razor clams, areas and seasons, and it is amended to incorporate the definitions of razor clam area 1, 2, and 3, and provides penalty language for violation of the provision. Originally, those two things appeared in separate rules. This didn't make too much sense to me. If somebody needs to know where they can actually act lawfully and what the rules are, it made a bit more sense to place them together. The fifth change is to WAC 220-56-372, Razor Clam Sanctuaries, and it's amended to remove a Department of Fisheries reference to clarify language and to provide a definition of beach approach to clarify terms used. So this is a clarification. I read that the first time. I said, I don't know what beach approach means, and I don't think that the layman out there knows what beach approach means, so let's define it. So number six is WAC 2207-4015, surplus salmon eggs. And this provision is repealed as it's unnecessary since it merely states the duties of the department and nothing more. RCWs cover these duties, and the legislature has required the department not to merely restate authority in WAC that was given to the department via RCW. And I did clear this through the FISH program before I went ahead and ripped it out. Number seven is WAC 2207-6020, Aquatic Farm Registration Form, Required Information. It's amended to remove references to the Department of Fisheries and to clarify language within the rule. WAC 2020-85-115, Rules of Practice and Procedure, is repealed as the rule is out of date and unnecessary. Further, it merely states the intent of the chapter the WAC appears in, which is improper, and refers to boards no longer in existence. This would also be a problem just for organizational issues when we actually do move the WACs into the new construct. Where does it go and what does it apply to? The ninth change is to WAC 2020-90-010, Herring Hardship Validations, Qualifications, and Conditions. And it's amended to provide more direction and clarity in the title. It adds individual or operator to the end of the title to provide direction on the subject matter. It removes references to the Department of Fisheries and updates and clarifies language and reworks the subsections and provides penalty language for violation of the section. So lots of little tinkering here and there. Next change is to WAC 2020-90-015, Resort or Marina, Owner or Operator. It's amended to add herring hardship validations to the beginning of the title, so the rule subject matter is clearer. It removes references to the Department of Fisheries. It updates language and provides penalty language for violation of the section. The next change is WAC 2020-100-068, and this is formal administrative appeal of department environmental determinations. This rule is repealed upon request from the Habitat Program, as the rule is no longer necessary, not required under SEPA, and WDFW is the only agency that still carries this rule. This was also cleared through the AG's office as well, that I personally spoke to an assistant attorney general, and I said, yeah, we need to get rid of that. So went ahead and got rid of it. WAC 232-12025 is the next change, and the title of that rule is Hunts Authorized Pursuant to RCW 77-12240. It's amended to carry the title Depredation Hunts to more accurately reflect the rule subject matter, update rule language, and includes penalty language for violation of the section. This was also cleared through the wildlife program, and actually I talked with Dave Ware and coming up with ideas for the title of the rule. So it would be a little bit more explanatory. The next change is to WAC 232-12091. Commercial Buying and Processing Anadromous Game Fish or Roe is amended to remove references to the Department of Game. It updates department contact information. It cleans up the subsections and provides penalty language for violation of the section. The next change is WAC 232-12097, titled Transportation of Anadromous Game Fish and Roe, is amended to remove references to the Department of Game and to clarify language. WAC 232-12242, Hunting Restrictions, is amended to clarify some language and adds penalty language for violation of that section. WAC 232-12289, Official Hunting Hours for Game Birds and Game Animals, is amended to bear the title of Official Hunting Hours for Game Birds, Migratory Game Birds, Upland Birds, and Wild Turkeys. The changes also place conditions at the beginning of the rule rather than repeating them throughout the rule, and strikes all hunting hours for game animals and forest grouse, as these provisions are moved to a new WAC section for simplicity, and so a person may more easily find the information they seek when navigating our code. It really didn't make much sense to have these things all together. Generally speaking, people aren't out hunting for multiple different species at once. It's generally one, maybe two. So made it a bit more simple. The next change is to WAC 232-12063, Live Wildlife, Facility Fencing and Marking Requirements. And this is a new section that contains the facility fencing and wildlife requirements from WAC 232-12064. And that WAC is split apart as it's long and difficult to navigate. And so FYI, I didn't just delete out the hunting hours completely from 289. They're just on a separate document, which appears a little later in the code. And it will be numbered very close to that number there. It's 232-12288. I figured you probably were wondering how we skipped from one thing to another. So that live wildlife, so it was split apart, and we also go to 232-12064. It's live wildlife. It's amended to bear the title Live Wildlife, Taking from the Wild, Importation, Possession, Transfer, and Holding in Captivity to more accurately reflect the subject matter of the rule. All the facility and fencing and marking requirements are struck and moved to a new section, and which was the one I just described, 232-12063. And the language remaining is clarified and updated. The next change is WAC 232-12261, Live Decoys Unlawful, and it's amended to bear the title Live Decoys Unlawful, Waterfowl and Wild Turkey to more accurately convey the rule's subject matter, and it adds a penalty language for a violation of the section. So now we're going to get to 232-12288, which is the new section where the provisions that were struck from 232-12289, they're just moved over into another section. And it's titled Official Hunting Hours for Game Animals and Forest Grouse. And this simply moves the hunting hours, as I said before. And there was a natural break in 232-12289 as there are two groups of hunting hours. And all that was done was splitting the rule into two rather than just having them all lumped into one. Again, this is going to help with people being able to navigate our code and more easily find information. WAC 232-16010, Establishment of Game Reserve, is repealed as the rule merely states the intent behind creating game reserves and that the chapter it falls under deals with game reserves. The rule has no real effect and is unnecessary. Additionally, once the reorganization and renumbering of the code is accomplished in 2013, this rule will no longer appear in the same chapter, thereby making the language announcing the intent and purpose of the chapter meaningless, because these rules will be combined in another chapter with many other rules. Basically, that would apply to that entire chapter, including a bunch of other rules that have nothing to do with game reserves. So this is kind of a proactive change in anticipation of the reorganization. The next change is 232-16255, Geographical Definitions, Razor Clam Areas, is repealed as the provisions of this rule are now incorporated into WAC 220-56-360, and that's what we discussed earlier in this package. So you can see how far apart those two rules were, and they are kind of mutually dependent. They appear in completely different titles, not to mention, you know, obviously different titles, different chapters. So a little confusing. Our next change is 232-28285, and this is 2010 through 2011 pilot cougar hunting seasons with the aid of dogs. And this is repealed upon request by the wildlife program. This hunt was authorized by the state legislature as a pilot hunt, and the authority expired in 2011 and was not renewed by the legislature, so therefore we're scrapping it. At this point, we now have reached the part where all of these rules remaining in the package are going to be withdrawn and will be proposed along with wildlife, with the wildlife changes that are going to be happening this spring. Just to run through the list of the rules that are going to be struck just for the record is WAC 232-28248, WAC 232-28273, WAC 232-28337, WAC 232-28342, WAC 232-28622, WAC 232-28623, WAC 232-28624, and WAC 232-28625. So these will be taken out of this package, and when I come back next month to request adoption of this package, then they will not appear any longer within it. So And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer those.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 4, WAC 220-20-039, the phrase indigenous marine bait fish is used. Is that defined somewhere?
It's not, and I that is a good question. I can look into definitely trying to figure that out. But we have a lot of terms that we use throughout our code that aren't necessarily defined, and generally, if there's no definition that's supplied for it, the reasonable meaning of that is going to be applied. However, since we say indigenous bait fish, you know, what falls in that category? So that is a good question.
One of the questions I had, or points that was raised to me, was sometimes GPOs can be used for bait. I don't know if shellfish fall under bait fish. That was why I was looking for that clarification. So it wasn't just a random ask for a definition, but
yeah,
just wanted to get clarity.
From what I understand, that I don't think that would include that, but I can look into that and definitely get back to you.
And then on page 45, WAC 232-12-288.
Yes.
Forest grouse are not game animals. They're small, so other birds fall in a different section for ours?
Mm-hmm. And that's how it occurred in the WAC section previously. In 232.12.289, they actually were, just imagine this whole section here as being taped to the bottom of the other one, and this is how they appeared before, just so for ease of not splitting it apart, and because they have common hours that they share, and it's not necessarily the same as the other birds that are listed and still listed in 289, I just kept them together just to keep things simple and not have to repeat ourselves yet again and have another whack with another table of times.
Just getting clarification.
Thank you.
And then my last question is on page 15. Jumping back, I couldn't find this earlier. I was trying to stay in order, but didn't.
It's okay.
Under 220-90-101, hearing hardship validations, I guess I wasn't familiar with, in section 2, Puget Sound marine fish, shellfish areas 20A, 20B, 21A, 21B, because we've talked about the crab areas, we've talked about the general fishing areas. This is just for my edification of where's the map that shows us where those small areas are. I'm assuming they're small areas.
And I don't have that information with me, unfortunately, but that is definitely something I will bring next time. These rules are incredibly old, these two rules, and I did want to get rid of them, but apparently I spoke with Craig Burley in the fish program, and he said before that he had proposed or discussed with people getting rid of these rules because they are so dated, and there was a bit of outcry from the public. People apparently still have permits that allow them to do this, even though it's completely suspended, and there's it pretty much indefinitely, but there's the potential it may open up someday, 100 years from now. There was a bit of issue with that, but I will definitely check into that, because that's
You know, you're not suggesting any change to the language. It was more just as I read through these that caught my eye. So
no, that's definitely the kinds of things that we're trying to clarify in this project. So thank you, appreciate it.
Commissioner. Director Anderson?
Oh, I'll wait for...
Okay. Commissioner Perry?
Oh, I just had an informational question. As I was reading through this, I was trying to figure out what the title was here on same page 15 at the top, WAC 220-90-01. Mm-hmm. It says herring hardship. Why is the word hardship used?
Because it's actually the title of the validation, and both 010, the one listed above that, and the one below that, it's when people can't obtain herring from other sources, they can go out and catch it themselves. That's the actual term of what the validation is called. So that's why that's there. And I just to be clear on that these two WACs talk about the same thing. I threw that into the title so everybody would be alerted to that.
Thank you.
Director Anderson.
Thanks. Deputy Chief, and you, if you would follow along with me in my, you don't need to come up or you can or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, why don't you come up?
Where you sit. I'm looking at page 10, Razor Clam Areas and Seasons, WAC 220-56-360. And I'm looking at the definition for Area 1, and I'm looking at the definition for Area 2. And the geographic area that I'm concerned about that I can't find clarity here is the stretch of beach between the western boundary of the Shoalwater Bay Indian Reservation and Cape Shoalwater, or Toke Point, depending on. So if Area 1 is open, which is typically the Long Beach Peninsula, or you have the Willapaw Spits open, which would be fall in Area 1, as I understand the definition here for Area 1, and Area 2 was closed, let's say. And I was digging in the area just west of the western boundary of the Shoalwater Bay Indian Reservation. So I'd come down the beach, I'd come around the corner at Cape Shoalwater, and I'm digging clams in that area. When I look at the definition for that area, it says in area one, it says between Cape Disappointment and the northern shore of Willapa Bay, west of Tokelin Marina, not including the beaches within the Shoalwater Bay Indian Reservation. And then when I look at Area 2, I see the same language. The line is between the northern shore of the Willapa Bay, west of the Tokelin, blah, blah, blah. Well, if I were a Fish and Wildlife Enforcement officer and I had rounded the corner there and I was coming down toward, and there is, as a matter of fact, it's been pretty good lately, I wouldn't, and Area 1 was open and Area 2 was closed, and you did not that you would ever do this, and you cited me for fishing closed season, I'd take this to the judge and I'd go, I don't know where the line is. I read this and it looks like Area 1's open. This is an Area 1 and it's open. So I think there needs to be some work to define a line that everybody knows where it is. And I would suggest, just looking at the intent here, that Area 1 include everything up to the boundary of the Cape, of the Shoalwater Bay Indian Reservation, and then Area 2, that be the dividing line, and everything west, the beaches west of the Indian Reservation are in Area 2, as a suggestion. We don't have to figure it out right now, but this language causes me concern.
Me as well now. Good find.
Okay. Any other good finds? Yeah. Once again, very clear. Good job. I was going to invite you to come and clean my garage after you're done with this. your organizational skills are really top-notch.
Madam Chair, I would love to, but I just moved into a new house myself, so I have to organize my own garage first.
Okay. Just a joke. Do we have any public input?
No.
No one signed up. Okay. So we'll see you back again. I was planning on mentioning this project to the governor when we speak with her on Friday, just because, you know, I just think that this is so valuable and wouldn't be something that would draw a lot of public support or interest, enthusiasm, but this is great. This is great stuff.
Thank you.